기도하겠습니다.
Father, thank you for gathering us here today. We come and are gathered here as your children, seeking our Father's discipline, seeking your instruction, and seeking your encouragement. We are conscious of our neediness of you, and we have the faith that you will meet our needs, whether it be our emptiness, whether it be pain or suffering or the challenges that we're going through the weeks and months before, during, or even after today. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to equip us, encourage us, challenge us, and shape us and conform us into the image of your Son. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, may you be glorified through our lives, through the worship that we express towards you. May we be blessed by all the words that you say to us, through me, through directly from you to into our hearts, in all the ways, Lord. May your name be glorified, and may your kingdom spread in our hearts, as well as those families, friends, colleagues, acquaintances around us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you experience a skip in your heartbeat when someone asks you to pray in front of people? How many of you experience the same skip in your heartbeat when you pray privately? What's the difference? Since the fall of Adam and Eve, we have all been born with a natural tendency of being aware of others, whether it is their presence, their thoughts about you, or a feeling like you're supposed to be impressed, you're not impressive enough or good enough to those around you. Consequently, when we are in a setting to pray together, whether it's with people we know or don't know, it's naturally more comfortable to hide, stay silent, and not put ourselves out there for others to see and possibly be judged. We don't want to look stupid. Nobody does. Or we don't want to look less than others. I can't say that we're ashamed of praying in front of others, but while we've got nothing to hide in our private time of prayer, we're not as confident when we're praying publicly. Why is that? It's because we're tempted to believe that our righteousness, our value with God, is dependent on other people's perception of us and not on God's perception of us alone. Today's message is about confidence in our identity in Christ. And through our passage, we'll be focusing on who we seek in prayer, how we seek in prayer, and ultimately what we seek in prayer. So it's who, how, and what. So who do we seek in prayer? Jesus says in verse 6, to go into our room and shut the door to pray to our Father who is in secret. Jesus' audience, when he's talking here, were all Jewish. And if you were living as a Jew in that time, you'd be struck by one word that Jesus says here. And it's not secret, it's Father. We are to pray to our Father. Jesus emphasizes this again in verse 9, telling us to pray to our Father. Jews would not dare to associate themselves so closely to God, let alone call him Father. We cannot dilute the richness of this command to pray to our Father. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Galatiasa. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6, that when the fullness of time had come, meaning when the perfect time had come, not early or late, God sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of woman, born under the law, meaning under every standard and obligation of life that people, us, are to live by in God's sight, to redeem which is to gain possession of through payment. And in our case, it's payment through Jesus' sacrifice and his blood. Those who were under the law, us, all of us, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters, of course. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Jesus is commanding his disciples to pray to our Father. And so he is presuming that they are already sons and daughters of the Father. And if they are sons and daughters, then they are heirs. Heirs through God. As Jesus, the Son, cries, Abba, Father, so also do they that are repentant, those that trust in Jesus, they also cry the same, Abba, Father. Same way as Jesus cries, Abba, Father. We, the repentant, cry, Abba, Father. As Jesus enjoys the fullness of his Father's love, so too do those who are in Christ through faith. In contrast, those that are not repentant, those that do not trust in Jesus, that have not received the Spirit of his Son in their hearts through repentance and trust in Jesus, do not have the right nor the ability to call God their Father, for they are not God's children. There's a misconception in the world that anyone who are born are automatically God's children. I'm afraid that is not true. It's not true. Not everyone cries, Abba, Father. Not everyone in the world cries, Abba, Father. What truly makes anyone God's children is if they receive adoption as sons and daughters. And if they are not sons or daughters, then they are not heirs from God. Heirs through God, sorry. And if they are not heirs through God, they do not enjoy the fullness of God's love, for they are not in Christ. Our confidence in prayer, whether private or public, comes from the fact that we have that perception of our childhood before God. We know that we are God's children, knowing that we have everything as heirs, and the love of God is unfiltered, undivided, and unhindered towards us. That is where our confidence in Christ comes from. The reason that there are those that lack this confidence is due to the fact that their perception of their childhood before God is broken, disfigured, and distorted. Therefore, the fullness of God's love for them as children is also disfigured, distorted. Consequently, this leads to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, practicing their righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For God's love for them isn't perceived to be enough. All of God's children fall victim to this distorted view of God's love for them. Sin is the cause of this distorted view. It started from the fall when the serpent questioned God's love for Adam and Eve by saying, did God actually say? And God knows that when you eat of it, the fruit of the knowledge of truth and evil, good and evil, God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, implying that God is withholding the fullness of his love for them. So while you may not be like the hypocrites that Jesus talks about, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others, you do actually struggle when others may or may not have a good perception of you. It's because of the sin within you. There are times when I have been in a group setting, a group prayer setting, where everyone's praying. One by one, everybody prays. Short, long, eloquent, simple, but nonetheless they pray. By the end, I'm the only one that hasn't prayed yet. And at that moment, I feel peer pressure. I feel pressure. In that moment, my attention, right now, what I'm thinking is not on God. When I'm praying, I'm not focusing on God. My attention is on what people will be thinking of me if I don't pray. What will they think of me? That's how I think. This too is practicing righteousness before other people. Praying in the synagogues and street corners can draw out a sense of pride or self-righteousness, but it's equally self-righteous to think that you're less righteous because you don't pray publicly like others. It is in these moments that it's essential for disciples of Jesus to look to the Father's love for them, for us, and be assured that his love is enough. It is not people's perception of you that makes you whole. Even though people may make you feel happy and good momentarily, but it is how God, the Father, sees you. That is how you are filled with wholeness. If you are repentant, turning away from your sinful desires, living a life that trusts in Christ through faith, then when the Father sees you, he sees all that Christ has accomplished and done through his death and resurrection. The Son of God perfectly satisfies and delights God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Father is perfectly satisfied with you who have received their adoption in Christ. It is this confidence in our identity in Christ that shapes how we seek in prayer as well. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 25 to 29. Here, some of you may know, the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal, a Canaanite deity, a god, were locked in a spiritual battle to see whose god was more powerful. It reads, "Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it.' And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'Baal, O Baal, answer us.' But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, going to the toilet, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their customs with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. These prophets of Baal called on their God's name over and over, and even cut themselves, hoping to awaken him and gain his attention. In Jesus' day, the pagans prayed quite mechanically, heaping up empty words, lots of words. Their problem was not the repetition per se. After all, Jesus blesses those who pray persistently. Their problem was their mindless, not even thinking, repetition of these prayers without much thought. There are some Christians, some of you maybe, myself included, there are some Christians that repeat the Apostles' Creed that we just repeated, or even the Lord's Prayer, so perfectly, word for word, but don't really think about the richness of the words that we say or pray. Do you fall victim to that? Are you one of those people? For some reason, we think that what time of day we pray, how many times we pray, the right articulation of words of our prayers, how sacrificial the prayer is, or even how sincere, well-meaning, or wholehearted the prayer is, determines how big God's ears may be. If I rise early in the morning and pray on my knees, in the cold, hungry, without coffee, then God will hear me. That is our thought. We fall victim to the same assumption as the prophets of Baal in thinking that our actions, our efforts, how much blood shed and self-sacrifice determines how awake God is or how attentive he is to us. Do we really believe, do we really worship a God that is so reluctant that we have to manipulate our Father to gain his attention, for him to hear our prayers? Do we really worship that kind of a God? Children of God think that even their sin influences how well their Father will listen to them. Today was a bad day of sinfulness, so God won't hear my prayer today as much as he would in another day when I'm not so sinful. Does that sound familiar? Does that voice sound familiar to you? The fact of the matter is this. Children of God, all of us, have never been good enough in themselves, and certainly their words have never been good enough to merit God's attention. Never. So what hope do we have? Christ. Christ is our only hope. Christ is perfect enough, and we are in Christ through our adoption. Christ knows exactly how to pray, and God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to pray. If you are one that is repentant and believes, then the Father sees you in Christ. This is why the Father listens to your prayers. It is not how you pray, when you pray, or even how well you pray that matters to God. It is first and foremost that you know that you are praying as his child and to him as your Father. That is the heart of our Father. That is the reward I believe Jesus is talking about in verse 6. Our Father so desires you to know this more than anything. And it is then and only then that we are moved by his love to rise early in the morning and pray on our knees in the cold, hungry, without coffee, for our friends, family, colleagues, and even our enemies. Confidence in our identity in Christ also shapes what we seek in prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus says, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Do you ever find yourself explaining your prayers to God? We can't help but feel the need to paint a picture of the situation that we're in, that what we're praying for, how it affects us, and what exactly would solve the problem to God, with explaining to God. While that's not wrong to pray, we must evaluate our hearts when we do. What does that say when you're explaining? What does that say about my beliefs of God, towards God? Am I explaining to God my prayer, trusting that God knows the situation, the whole situation, how it affects me or us, and what's needed, if needed at all, to resolve what's in front of me or us? Do I trust God knows? What we seek in prayer, again, goes back to our confidence in our identity in Christ, our trust in our sonship, daughtership. How does Jesus tell us to pray after telling us to pray to our Father in heaven? "Hallowed be your name," he says, meaning may your name, God, be holy. We are to pray that his name and person be revered, respected, and honored, treated as holy in our hearts and in all of creation. However, that's not what we usually pray. We pray for comfort, for obstacles and hardships to disappear, protection, health, etc. All of these are good things to pray, don't get me wrong. But are they truly prayers requesting that comfort, protection, health would come so that God's name would be revered, respected and honored, treated as holy in our hearts and in all of creation. Who are you praying for in the end? Is it just for me? Is it just for us? Or is it for God's holy name? You will find that in every moment in our prayer life, we are led to repentance, led to turning away from our sinful desires and looking to seek first His kingdom. We are led to the gospel because we find a self-seeking, selfish, proud heart that seeks first our kingdom. Our kingdom. Once you truly know the richness of what was involved in finding yourself in Christ through the gospel, how undeserved you were to be redeemed, to receive adoption, to be given the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, your response to life, and especially your prayer language, will truly change if you see the gospel. This is called sanctification through repentance. Every day and every moment as we repent, we are putting off or dying to sin and putting on or living unto righteousness. What we seek in prayer changes from self-centeredness or requests that benefit self to God-centered prayer requests and to neighbors as well. As you pray, the question is, are you confident in your identity in Christ? Are you confident? Do you really know and are convicted deep down that the Father knows what you need before you ask Him? Whatever the result or answer to your prayer may be, whether it be calmness, peaceful season, more challenges, problems, more problems, or even silence, do you know that all things will work for the good of those whom love Him? Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." As you are being conformed and shaped into the image of His Son, through your adoption into God's family, your hearts will be conformed into the heart of this prayer, this Jesus' prayer. Be encouraged that the Spirit of His Son is doing the work within you to perfect you. He is the author and perfecter of your salvation. Jesus did not come simply to tell people to stop sinning. The Son of God entered into history to save sinners, us. So although at times our prayers are misguided or poorly expressed, know that God is fully aware what we intend to say and what we really need, what exactly we need. But it is always His intention to save us from unrighteousness, to make us and all of creation whole again. All your concerns of your heart, the fears and anxiety, lift them up to your Father as a child, knowing that He is in control, and ask Him for you to die to these fears, to create in you a new heart that knows that you are a child of the Creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, wholly trusting the Father for all things to work for your good and for His glory. Let us pray. Father, we confess that we don't pray enough. We never pray enough. And when we do pray, it's all mixed up with fumbling words, and we're amateurs in prayer. But Lord, thank You that You hear our prayers, not because of how well we pray, how many times we pray, or how good we pray. It is solely because of our sonship, our daughtership, our adoption into Your family, that You call us your children. And we are able to be calling you our Father. And that is the only reason why you hear our prayer. Even when our prayers are so badly worded or we don't know what to pray for. We thank you, Lord, that the gospel, the good news is that our worship towards you is not dependent on how well we do and how wrong we do. It is solely on the accomplished, finished work of Jesus' death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel depends on Jesus and not on us. Not on our works, not on our performance, not on our worship, but solely through our faith in Christ. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have done everything that is needed to give us 100% right relationship with God our Father as children. There is nothing that we need to do, nothing more we need to do, because you have done everything needed. So help us to be reminded of this truth as we go out this week, enjoying the Christmas festive season, as we come about the end of 2019. Help us to be reminded of this truth, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Help us to be confident in our identity in Christ. And may others that do not know you see that and be amazed, so that they too would be drawn to you. May your Spirit draw them so that they may also receive their adoption into Christ. We pray, Father, that your name would be glorified as we worship in these ways. In Jesus' name, amen.